ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Welcome to series two of We Heart Worry. I love the way you come in there with that echo and worry. It feels strong and right.
Good. Did it?
It did. I loved it. It was like being supported by a backup singer. But
funny you should say that.
But it felt like you were a Beyonce in your own accord. Mm.
Of your own accord.
Not in your own accord. I don't even know what I'm saying.
That's nice, because I remember when I was little, I really wanted to be a backup singer. Just thought it was.
I remember this. You telling me this. Yeah. You wanted to be a backup singer for you too.
Oh yeah, there was that as well. I wanted to be a backup singer in general, right? Because I thought it looked like the most glamorous job of life.
Yeah. The BVs, you know, they call it.
Do they?
BVs, backing vocals.
Right. You see. My interest should have brought me to that knowledge, but I was about six.
Listen, you're giving it the full name. You're acknowledging the weight of the job in itself.
Yeah, the back full title. Vocals. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. My name is Yasmin Akram, by the way.
And my name is Philippa Dunn.
And we are doing a comedy podcast about our worries. We're in series two. We call seasons series in this country.
Yes.
But you could call it a season.
A season.
And as you can see, it's already going really well.
Yeah, and the thing is, we're not in the same room.
No, we're not. We're doing this live via Zoom / Zoom. What's the other thing we're using? Clean feed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think apologies in advance if there's any talking over each other.
Mm.
There might have already been an instance or two, and I'd say that the worst perpetrator will be me for that, because I'm very keen.
Listen, you've got lots of thoughts, and that's what I've always loved about you. You're supporting. You're telling me again. This is why you would have been a natural backup singer.
BVs. I just thought it looked like the most glamorous job in the world, and yeah, there was the time I genuinely thought I could join U2 if I simply just dropped them a line. Because there was a lot of U2 played in our house growing up.
Yeah.
And
so you felt like there was a way in just because you knew all the hits.
Well, I thought there was a female presence lacking.
I think that's a very, very fair assessment of that band.
And I thought, it'd be no harm to get a bit of a girl vibe going on, just to break up the monotony. And I thought I could go out the front to do a bit of dancing and also, provide a few vocals. And I just thought that by simply writing them a letter and going, lads, I'm only 11, but I can foresee myself being free between June and August next year. Are you touring around then? Or
yeah, I can come down.
Come down for a jam.
Get on a flight or whatever it might be. You mentioned the words girl vibe there. And I think if we and you had been selected for a 90s girl band type situation, like a Bewitched or whatever, our band would have been called Girl Vibe.
Yeah.
I think you're
correct.
Some others. Twins. Some twins we'd have found somewhere.
Some lovely twins. Yeah. That'd be nice. There's nothing we can do about that now.
Yeah, exactly. We can't go back in time. Phil, it's been a while. I'm sure that you've been accumulating worries over this time. What's been going on with you this week, worry-wise? What's the haps in Finland?
Well, in Finland this evening, I only went and triggered myself with my own dinner.
Oh. There's a sentence.
It's like, it's basically, I'll give you the word chicken.
Right.
Anytime I'm cooking with raw chicken, it's a serious kind of a worry fest goes on in the kitchen. And I did it to myself this evening again. It's just, is it cooked? Is it, you know, is there any pink bit? Is there? Now, it's fine if I'm just feeding myself and himself, right? But heavens forbid I'd have a guest over.
Okay.
And I'm unconfident in the chicken prep, you know, and I'd be like, kind of watching them eat it to see, does any morsel offer up any pinkness or anything like that? And I'm just like, how's the dinner going there? You know, and
could then you
the
chew next with your day, mouth open?
Yeah, so I can just look at the colour of the meat. And then the next day, like, I'd always be like, oh God, I hope I didn't poison them last night with the dinner. And then I'll drop them like a casual text and be like, hi, how's any plans for the day? And if they don't mention anything about hospital or stomach
or food poisoning,
then I feel like I'm in the clear. But like, I will sweat it. You know,
what is the, now I'm going to sound very stupid, but I'm going to go with it because I think a lot of people might be misremembering the whole chicken thing. What is it that uncooked chicken gives you? Is it just a food poisoning, or is there a word? Salmonella. Oh God, sorry, Phil, your cat just appeared over your shoulder. I thought it was an actual ghost.
No, that's the cat. There she is now.
I mean, you can't see her on the podcast, but she's a beautiful beast. Sorry, back. Chicken is salmonella.
Yeah.
Because I think I saw something the other day. God, isn't this a coincidence? I think I saw something the other day that says chicken gives you salmonella or uncooked chicken gives you salmonella, but uncooked salmon doesn't give you chickenella.
No. And I don't know if this is correct, but I feel like out of all the raw meats, chicken is the worst offender. It can give you the worst kind of
run
stuff. Yeah.
Have you ever had food poisoning before in your life?
I've got a very strong constitution vis-a-vis my intestines, etc. Right. But I did give myself
Oh no. What did
I gave
do?
Myself the mega shits once because I had a whole bag of Bombay mix.
That is such a rookie movie. That's a spicy snack.
I've had Bombay mix in the past and I've stomached it well. Plus as I said, I've got a very strong constitution vis-a-vis my guts and intestinal organs.
Oh my God.
So I went into it with full confidence.
The dryness of a Bombay mix, though, a whole bag of Bombay mix. Did you have...
It's awful nice. Maybe it wasn't the Bombay mix that was the offender. Maybe it was the fact that I was licking the dust off my palm for a full evening. So the way it gets stuck to your palm.
Yes, yeah.
The fragments.
Well, do you know what? I'll say I do know that happens, but I don't like Bombay mix.
Do you not?
I know. And as somebody who originated from the Punjab, you'd think that there would be something in my constitution that would bring me towards a spicier type of mix.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I love it. I love it.
Is that your top snack of all time? I mean, no, hang on, right? So if you ate a Bombay mix and made yourself sick, isn't that one of those things where once you have food poisoning, you can never eat that thing again?
Yeah, I couldn't eat Rolos for years because I blamed Rolos for me puking after a birthday party when I was about 7. Absolutely nothing to do with the fact that I hoovered up about 90% of the party. With my gob, and then I came home and went, I don't feel very well, but it was the Rolos who got the blame for that one.
I think maybe it is true though, because you know, if your subconscious mind has taken that in as the offender, I think there's some truth in it. Maybe it was the Rolos that tipped you over the edge, but no reaction to Bombay mix, you'd still do that now, would you?
Tentatively, yeah. I'd be cautious. I would need the full bag. I'd just have a sampling. Yeah,
yeah.
And I know
a few
what I'd
dry
go for.
Sticks.
I'd go for the peanuts first. Yeah,
I do love a dry roasted peanut. Mm. So listen, come here to me though. The chicken has never been a real realized. You've not had food poisoning from chicken yourself.
No.
You've never. Have you heard of? Is this a family thing or is it just the? It's more about you hurting other people with your misplaced chicken.
A bit of that. It's chicken germs, basically.
Right. It's not misplaced chicken. It's undercooked chicken. Let me get it right, first of all.
Plus the germs associated with a raw chicken that you're just potentially spreading around the kitchen. Because I do have my moments of germ phobia. I'm not the worst with it. But before I know it, sometimes... you know, you could be making some chicken and next thing I know is the germs are everywhere. And I'm kind of like, oh God, that needs to be wiped down and that needs to be... And then I'll just be like looking at the chopping board and I can almost see and hear teeming with chicken germs. And then I'm like, I'll bring it out into the garden and I'll just incinerate it because I can't. I just don't like the thought of that. And then, of course, obviously then if you undercook chicken, then that's a big no-no.
Well, there's a few things that's come into my mind. First of all, did you ever see that ad that was on years ago about like germs? Because it always made me hyper aware of like chicken stuff. Like there was a woman wiping down some surfaces and it was like, this is all shit. I mean, they didn't say that in the ad, but they were basically saying, you need to get this kind of wipe or else, you know, your whole surfaces are teeming with bacteria. And of course, it was aimed at mums because there was a child in a high chair and you know that was going to make them feel
that
scared.
That was from Milton, wasn't it? I remember
Maybe it. Was I remember just going, oh, Lord, now I feel properly scared.
Oh, that ad, I think, helped in placing the worry that I was actually spreading germs, that you could spread germs from one surface to the next. Right. If it's the same ad we're thinking
could
about.
Could be the same ad. I mean, there was a few of them, wasn't there, in that vein. Mm. But so, okay, hang on. Right. How are you cooking your chicken? Are you letting it, are you giving it the chance to, are you doing low and slow?
No. This evening was in the oven.
Okay, that's hard to get wrong.
Yeah.
And also, like, how long are you putting it in for?
30 mins.
30 mins, I think that's a great time, Phil.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great time for a fillet.
I would have thought so, yeah. My preferred way is just to have it frying in the saucepan in front of me because then I can just like really observe it.
I do this sometimes where I get the spoon and I cut into a bit and look around and see is it done?
Oh yeah. Yeah, usually my chicken pieces will end up into mere fractions of what they were before because I've gone in there and I've broken them up.
They're little tiny, almost like rice
flaked
chicken. Yeah. Oh, Philippa, with this flaked chicken you are spoiling.
Yeah, I know.
I get it. At the same time, I'll be really honest, I think I'm a bit of a mucky pup because I don't worry about chicken in that way, and maybe I should because sometimes I play fast and loose with my bowels.
Really?
I just
are they
like,
fast
oh,
and
this
loose?
Listen, I only had one bout of extreme gastroenteritis when I was 20, I think. It took me to the floor. It was awful. Mm. But other than that, I've never had a dicky tummy and I will eat anything. If it stood still long enough, it's in my mouth.
Mm, same as that.
Yeah. That's what it says in my Tinder profile.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It's a joke.
I don't get... stomach anything. If anything, I'm a cough and cold kind of a
right, okay
a person. But yeah, no, I don't know. I think it's because I've got the leanings of the germ phobia.
So what it is the fear is germs, but it's been regulated or concentrated onto chicken. It's understandable, but at the same time, the way that you described your cooking of a fillet. And in the pan, I think you're in good hands. I think you've done what you need to do. I know you're. I know what you're going to say to me. You're going to say yes. You're going to say it's the chopping boards.
Phil, it's the chopping boards.
Stick them in the boiling water. Isn't that what you do?
Yes, I will. Okay, so this is what I'll do. I will chop a chicken breast with a knife and a fork.
Right.
I'm not touching that thing. Absolutely no. And then I will chop it up directly into the pan or wherever it's going. And then all that, the chopping board, the knife and the fork goes into the sink. And I may boil a kettle and douse the shit out of it. Or I'll get my bottle of squiz and just squiz all over it with the anti-bac.
I feel slightly dirty because I will cut a chicken fillet with my hands. I mean, with a knife and resting a hand against it.
So you'll just get it with your two hands, just rip it apart. Rip it apart,
rip it apart. And then eat it.
Raw.
Raw. And no. I'm fine.
No, I think you're right. You see, I'm aware that I'm going overboard because I just don't like it.
Do you think that maybe the answer, there's no answers here. We're not looking for answers. We're looking for compassion for the situation. But do you think you're going to downgrade chicken to maybe a once a week type meat?
No, it hasn't gotten in my way that way where I avoid altogether.
Right.
I suppose what I'm doing could be classed as classic safety-seeking behaviour, which is...
Safety-seeking behaviour?
Yeah, putting in all these steps to my dinner-making process, which means I feel safe and contained.
Right.
And if I was doing a good old blast of CBT, I'm guessing... what they would suggest is exposure therapy, where you basically confront
a chicken
phobia. Yeah. You ring up the chicken farm and you said, put them on, put it on the line, put one on. Come on. It's time. I just need to have a
do a face go on one of them.
Yeah. And then just face, like literally face your fear. But I'd say, you know, it would be like, no, I'm not trained in any of this, but I'm just guessing that like the CBT therapist would say, I don't know, you know, cut your chicken without the fork.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cut it with the knife and your hand, like
get in there,
the average way of doing it, and then just like wash your hands afterwards, because that's common sense. And then don't maybe anti-back the whole kitchen.
Right.
Yeah, wash your chopping board with soap and water. Yeah, that's common sense.
But don't go to far reaches of the kitchen where the chicken hasn't even been.
Been, yeah. And don't go texting your dinner guests the next morning going, are you dead? Or do you have the shits? Or etc. You know, in that ballpark. Don't do any of that, because there's no need.
Yeah.
There's no need. That's just a more safety-seeking behaviours.
Interesting, though, that you've managed to now see your trail. You know, the things that you need to do to not let it get out of hand for you.
Yes. Now, you see, that's it. If I was to go, oh, God, no, I'm so terrified of chicken now. That's it. Chicken is banned from the house.
Yeah.
I would be able to tell that I've gone into danger zone there with that. Now,
right.
That phobia has taken over.
Yes, because you're making the chicken more powerful than you.
Absolutely. And the chicken is dead.
The chicken is dead. The chicken does not have any power over you.
No.
You are... the god of your own reality, Phil.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, listen.
But you summed it up very nicely there, which was also that, is it more a case of now I'm afraid of hurting somebody else through the medium of chicken? And yeah, I would have that still.
Right.
But again, I would have to maybe apply a CBT approach to that, which is...
the responsibility pie chart?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that wouldn't work in that situation.
So if Yaz comes over for dinner and Yaz gets the shits, whose fault is it? Mine.
Well, I mean, okay, so that's, yeah, that brings about... but I mean, it's like, things, like, I suppose it's... right. I suppose it's one of those things where, it's not like this at all, but I'm going to use it as an example. You know when somebody is taking the mickey out of you? And you're having a really good time because you know that person is genuinely loves you and they're free to take the mickey out of you because you're not getting offended by it. And then you know there's other people who take the mickey out of you and you go, you don't like me. And I know that everything that you're saying is a barbed, it's not even, it's like a, you know, you're trying to cover up the insult under a joke. And yes. I think in that way, it's like, I know that you would never try and poison me. So if I did go to your house and I did get poisoned, I would know it was never your intention to poison me. It would always be your intention to give me a good meal.
Mm.
But other people, not naming names, I would not be surprised if they tried to poison me.
What have you done?
too many things is what it is. And that's why I won't go to their house for dinner.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. You could be getting some grotty chicken.
Exactly. And I won't. Yeah. I won't, Phil.
No. No. But that was it. That was my worry. Immediate. Yeah. That happened this evening.
It was a fresh one.
Yeah, it was fresh. In fact, I left a large portion of the chicken on the plate. It was cooked. I just didn't fancy the texture. And I'm not one to really leave much of my dinner behind me, you know. I love dinner.
Interesting. Maybe because you knew you were going to come and talk about it. You're already going, I don't want to have eaten it all because I don't want that in my mind. No, it's all in my belly when I'm puzzling through it all.
Hello, I'm Tom, and I make a podcast where I log in to celebrities' Amazon accounts. It's called...
What a brilliant idea for a pod. There's no original pods out there anymore, but this genuinely is.
Oh, thanks, Ben Bailey-Smith. Anyway, it's called...
This is good, isn't it? It's clever, this podcast. You should do more.
Thanks, Kerry Godleyman. It's called...
This is such a great idea, by the way. What great podcast.
Shappy Corsander, you're too kind. The podcast is
called... It's biographical. You can get all sorts of information out of people. This is a very good idea.
Thank you, Nick Helm. It's called My Mate Bought a Toaster.
I'm going to listen to this podcast.
Thanks, Alex Horn. Can you tell your friends?
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Worry this week. I feel like now a little bit of worry pinging up there. I feel like I've gone, okay, yours is over. Now me. See, that's a worry, isn't it?
No. It's already. That's what this program is.
I know. Well, listen, because that's the thing. I know we could go on for like 6 hours just talking on two worries. That's the thing. So just being mindful of the time as well, because people be listening to this, but they also have to do a shop. They've got to do homework.
Many things.
Many different things. Well, my worry, oh God, it's kind of like, how do I explain it? Well, I explain it easily and I'll explain it like this. I have this thing and I've had it for years where, so at the moment in the pandemic situation, I am working at home, I'm writing at home. So I don't get up out of bed until about like a healthy solid 9:30 to 10, right?
Nice.
Rolling out of bed at that time. Now, there's some building work going around, like across the road, but like a little bit far away from me. But around 7 a.m. they start working. Now, if I get woken up before I'm ready to get woken up, it's like I go into this panic. I go into this really, really deep, dark fear that something really bad has happened. And I get like, they wake me up at 7. I wake up. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. Then I go to the toilet usually because I drink a lot of water. So I get up, I go to the toilet, and then I have to try and talk myself down from, not from the toilet, it's not high. It's a toilet at a regular level. But I have to talk myself.
You've got that toilet that has a, this has whole step ladder up to it. And a,
the ceiling toilet, yeah. The ceiling toilet, TM. Yeah, I invented it myself. You want a long flush. You want a big long flush all the way down. All the way, the length of your wall. That's how you know you've got a good flush.
Well, it was after you got very conscious about getting all your steps in a day. So you kind of wanted a bit of a lead up to the jacks, didn't you? So you asked your landlord to put it in especially.
Can I just extend that toilet just for, thanks so much. So I do have to talk myself down, both physically and emotionally, from the toilet. And from this state of mind of like extreme panic. And I'll get into bed and I'll say to myself, okay, you just need to go back to sleep for a little while. Even if you just go back to sleep for an hour, you're going to wake up and you're going to feel so much better. And I do. Every time I wake up like an hour later, I am in, I just, that fear is gone. And I don't know what it is. Like, I have some, of course I have some thoughts. I've gathered some thoughts around the subject. But it's really, it brings me back to when I was a kid and like when I was a teenager, getting up to go to school, which I never liked. And I think also like getting up, I don't know, like, again, it's like one of those things where like, get like, when you're a kid, obviously you don't have any control over anything and you're very reactive to people's moods and to people saying this, that or the other to you. And I think that I, as the youngest child in my house, was always in the seat of reaction to either my mother or my sister. And I don't know if there's a thing of, I used to be quite anxious in the morning because of school, but also because if I had had a fight with my sister or a fight with my mother or whatever, I'd wake up in a state of, oh God, I'm still in the middle of this fight kind of thing. Does that make any sense? I don't even know.
No, I totally get you with the waking up feeling frightened thing.
I just really don't feel safe. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, especially when you've been, as you were saying, like woken up before you would naturally kind of wake up. I remember saying to a friend once, we had to get up early for something. And I said, you know, I just felt awful. Basically, the morning that I woke up, I just felt awful. And I went, do you ever just wake up feeling really on edge? And they were like, no. And I was kind of like, right, because I've lost track of the amount of times I've just woken up in the morning feeling absolutely just terrified. Just terrified. And it's like, where is this coming from? And like what you were saying there, I think it's very child, teenager, very that. And I think it's like, just listening to you talk, I was thinking, yeah, where does that come from? I think it's just that thing of, school. And just, you're like, I just don't know what today has in store.
Yeah.
And it could be, it could be awful. And I just don't want to face it. Like, it could be awful.
Well, I think I've been talking about this a lot because, like, you know, in terms of like children now being born now and all of the things that we know about them and how to speak to them and how to soothe them and how to help them self-soothe. And I don't know if it was just the era that I was growing up in, that we were growing up in, and in Arles as well, where I just felt like everything was how do I say this without sounding like I'm dissing where I'm from? Look, I love where I'm from. It's great. But there was a real mentality of, oh, well, you can't do that. Like, there was just a real, like, things. It was quite a negative time, I think, in the life of the people around me and the life of the country that we were in at the time. I don't know. But I don't see that in people in Ireland anymore. I think it's a more kind of positive, upbeat vibe at home. But just whatever it was like everything felt really hard, and it felt like everything that you wanted to accomplish. I had a lot of people saying to me, well, you'll never do that. You know, I wanted to be an actor and I wanted to do all these things. And I know it was a million miles away from being a possibility or from what I'd grown up around. But just it was like a blanket. Nah, you'll never do that. And I think there was something about that where I felt an awful lot like I had to fight to be validated and fight to be. To just have my my sense of self and my dreams and just that thing of like, well, let me try. And so I think I was always a little bit on edge because I always felt like there was something. And also, I don't know if you had this experience as well. Just being a teenager, even within my group of friends who I really liked, we'd fight with each other an awful lot. Mm. And sometimes, you know, we were a gang of like four or five. We'd turn on each other. And, you know, all of a sudden someone was getting the piss taken out of them left, right and centre. Mm. And I don't know if it was that as well, where even within my group of friends, it sometimes didn't feel like a particularly safe place.
Yeah.
Because once you were out or you said something, you were out and then that was it, you know.
Mm. Rejection.
Rejection of the gang.
So I remember finding out once that one of my friends, so I was in a little gang of friends as well. And I found out once that... two of my friends had gone into town without me.
Oh no, Philippa.
That hurt my feelings.
Did you express it or did you bury it down deep?
No, I had to pretend like I didn't care, but I really cared. And I thought about it a lot afterwards. I thought about it an awful lot.
Oh my, well, that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, because you're at that age where everything, you're very sensitive to stuff.
Mm.
And you don't know, like, things, shit like that happens, and you don't have the life experience to go, look at, fuck them, or whatever your response now as an adult would be. Or like, you know, their loss, or whatever. You know, you're just like, oh God, oh, they wanted to do stuff without me because obviously I'm a shithead and I'm not cool, because everything goes back to being cool. I'm not cool enough, and they don't like me, and oh, you just feel things very deeply.
You do. Also, I think it's... No, go on, Phil. No. I was interrupting.
No, I was interrupting. I think it was... I don't know what you said. I'm interrupting you now. I'm like...
I said, I'm interrupting and I'll own it. And then you just gave me a look like, what?
What? Because I was going to interrupt and go, what? What did you say? And then I was like, would you let the woman talk, for fuck's sake? Because I would start talking over you then.
No.
It's like, I think at that young age, you're just, you are experiencing the world very much through other people's treatment of you and how they either accept you or don't accept you. Like, you don't have your self-confidence yet to go, well, fuck yay, or whatever.
Yeah.
That you're not as, I don't think you're as resilient to rejection. You're just far too sensitive to it.
That's true. But I wonder if we will now instill the children that are growing up, they're about to be teenagers and everything, with this thing of like problem solving and being able to like say that, like in that situation, being able to say to your friends, I'm a bit disappointed you didn't ask me to go to town with you. Like, I understand, but I was a little bit disappointed and my feelings were hurt. I mean, I know it's a different thing because the teenage mind is going through huge amount of change and there isn't the emotional maturity to deal with that, but I think it's there's a danger of, like, I'm only realizing now that I'm still holding on to things and holding on to ways of being that are still quite teenaged, in the fact that, like, I don't sometimes do exactly what I just said there with grown people, where instead of being like, if I'm angry or annoyed with somebody, instead of saying to them, listen, I'm angry and annoyed with you, let's have a chat about that, I play the victim and I go and I tell other people, oh, this person pissed me off, and then I look for that person to go, oh, that's so bad because you're such a lovely person, and then I go, I am a lovely person and I'm going to go back over here and be a lovely person. Whereas it would have felt better in the moment if the person was trying to piss me off or whatever, or being deliberately provocative, let's say, that I would stop and say, hey, what's going on with you? It seems like you're trying to get a rise out of me, or whatever it might be, because that would make me feel like I was a grown-up person and that would give me self-esteem and self-confidence. But I'm still doing the same thing I did when I was 15, which is to go, she was mean, or he was mean.
Is that because, like, obviously, believe it or not, I'm not a trained psychologist, but
Philippa.
I know. Is that because, like, you know, when that kind of level of confrontation or not confrontation would have happened to you first during those formative years, and then it's kind of locked into your teeth? Is that why? I don't know.
I think it's like, when you view confrontation as something that's very dangerous, and I did, and I have done for such a long time, because my mother couldn't handle confrontation, still can't handle confrontation, and so it was that thing of just if I had a feeling or an emotion, it was just shut up, just shut up,
shut up.
So you kind of go, oh, my wants and my needs aren't very important; they're actually quite silly. So I think it's about getting over that and going. It's somebody said, when you're having a disagreement with somebody, as long as you keep in mind that it's basically you're problem solving. It's two people who want to have the goal, or should go in with the goal of, we want to resolve this issue, not who's going to win and who's going to lose. And I very much saw fighting or confrontation as there's a winner and there's a loser. And I don't want to lose. So if I don't want to lose, I'm not going to get into the confrontation. I'm just going to talk shit about that person behind their back.
I get you. Yeah. Yeah.
Which just, again, it's an erosion then of your own self-esteem, because you're not handling it in the way of going, there's an issue with this person I want to resolve, and let us. And even if that person wants to win or needs to win or whatever, that you're still going from that angle of, no, I'm going to do the whole, this is a problem we both have to solve. I'm going to do like a conflict resolution type thing. Yeah. But it is, I mean, sorry, this is really far away from the anxiety, but I think, well, in a way, I think my anxiety has a lot to do with that mentality and being a victim for a really long time and playing that role, and like learning how to do things like say to myself, you just need to go back to sleep for a minute, or like for an hour, and you'll be fine when you come out of it. Like learning that I don't have to get swept up in the wave of anxiety and go, oh God, this is terrible and I can't handle this, I'm so frightened. It's just like, yeah, you feel frightened right now, but
I'm just wondering, the way I said, like, CBT would tell you to confront your chicken germs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, would there be anything in getting up at the time that you feel frightened and staying with it long enough to realise there's something to be frightened about? Or was she just exhausted because it's 7:30?
It's 7:30. I mean, she's a princess, isn't she? I think there is something in that. I think there is something about, like, just going, there's nothing to... This is, like... residual anxiety, because I didn't go to bed feeling like this, so therefore I don't think this was a natural state that I was supposed to be in when I woke up. It's like a ghost of something. It's a ghost emotion. Ghost emotion would also be a great name for a band.
Oh geez.
But not a girl band. Not girl. Well, girl vibes is a different thing.
Well, when we dump the twins and go off on our own,
yeah,
we could ghost emotion.
Yeah,
and then the twins are just the twins.
Yeah, that's their band name, the twins.
Yeah. The twins.
Well, listen, sorry, I'm aware of time and I don't want to go on and on. Flelepa.
That's my name. Philippa's just my nickname.
Yeah.
No, I know that feeling. I think we've talked
again,
about
it's before, compassion. Like, I know we talked about compassion an awful lot, but I do think there's something about going, you don't have, you're not choosing. As in one, myself, I am not choosing to wake up in the morning and feel like that. And the more that I can recognize that it's just this weird thing that's taken over me, that I don't have to engage with it, that I can just feel the emotion. With, as you say, like without trying to chase it away, just be present with it and then let it pass through. But even when I do that, it's
like
still there.
The Bombay mix.
The Bombay mix. It's a full bag of Bombay mix. Deal with it.
Passing through. Like I'd say a few years ago I would have let that feeling of massive dread just carry me through the day, and I'd just be like, it would just hang over me and just put a horrible feeling on me for the day. But I think I got a great phrase off one therapist, and who was just like, you just ask yourself, where's the threat? So in that moment, you know, with a bit of experience on me now, I think I'd be able to go, what right now, actually going on right now in this very moment, is there to be frightened about? And I would just sit there for a few minutes. I'd be like, there's actually nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing to be afraid of.
But does your brain sometimes throw out things and go, you should be frightened of this, and then you just go, it's actually that, no.
Oh yeah, because you see, I would wake up with that feeling, oh God. And then my mind would search, is it this thing?
My brain goes, you're going to lose, you're going to be homeless.
Right, it would offer up a kind of a reason why.
Yeah, and I'm going, that's so far away from being something that I need to be concerned about today. That so,
is that like a classic case? Your brain is trying to match up with your, like, so you have a physical bodily reaction for some reason.
Yeah, which is that, not increased, a fart. Not a fart. Can we say?
No. Increased heart rate.
Yeah.
A tremor. Tremor.
Yeah. Some farts. Yeah,
some nervous farts. A clammy palm.
A clammy.
Whatever. You know, physically you're upset because it's, yeah, you wake up with the, maybe with the jolt and go, ugh.
Yeah.
And then your brain searches for the logical reason to that physiological.
Yes. Yeah.
Whereas it's literally, it's just, it's like, as you say, it's a fart. Does your brain search through the Rolodex every time you have to fart? Does it go, oh, is that the lasagna or is it the chips? You just go, you don't know, it's a fart, right? So if you woke up feeling panicky, yeah, you don't go, oh God, is it my tax return or is it the fact that
yes, yeah,
it's rent is due tomorrow. You just go, oh, it's just that thing. It's just that feeling.
Yeah, it's absolutely just that feeling.
An emotional fart.
And it's an emotion. That's such a, I'm going to think about that because I know it's going to happen tomorrow and I'm going to wake up and I'm just going to go, this is an emotional fart.
Let it out.
Which would be, I can't remember the name of our band now. Ghost, what was it?
Oh, Ghost Emotion?
Ghost Emotion.
Was it?
That would be the first song. Emotional fart.
Emotional fart. Hi, we're Ghost Emotion and this is Emotional Fart.
Because you may sometimes bands do that where they have their name, but then they also have the same name like in the song.
Yes. Yes. And then their, yeah, album will be called the same name as well. And you're like, lads, think, just come up with something else.
Can someone do maybe a 5-minute brainstorm and just, yeah, think of other words that might be that? Like Spice Girls, Spice Up Your Life from the album Spice World. I think it was Spice World, wasn't it?
I don't know. I wouldn't be up on my Spice trivia now. I liked them. Wasn't obsessed.
Who was your favourite?
Initially, when they first came out, I kind of missed them, right? Because I was either in the Gaeltacht or I was in France on a bloody exchange or something. And I came back.
I missed the Spice Girls. I was in France.
Yeah. Bloody. What's the song?
If You Want to Be My Lover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
That was all, it was all the rage when I got back from my travels, wherever the hell I was. And I was thinking, what's this? Who are these? Who are these girls? What's
this
that?
Now?
Yeah. And I hadn't even heard the song. And I was like, Ara, this is Loda. You know, I always had this thing of like, oh, is that cool? Well, I'm doing the opposite of that. I don't know if that
I
makes
me, I won't
be
having
extra,
any of that cool stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that makes me extra uncool, but I just rejected all things cool because I was like, no. And lo and behold, I heard the song on the radio.
And you were taken.
I loved it. And I could understand why it was such a big hit. And then I bought Smash Hits magazine or Big magazine or whichever one it was. Because they were on alternating weeks, weren't they?
Really? Who were they flipping it with? All Saints?
No. Smash Hits would be released one week.
I thought you meant like the Spice Girls were always on Smash Hits like every other week.
No. Am I remembering that right? Smash Hits was one week, then Big was the next. And Smash Hits, and they had it alternating like that.
We didn't get that many Smash Hits bought in our house.
Oh God, I was every week, a Friday, down to the newsagents and I'd buy it because I wanted to be in on the know. And then I saw the picture. I saw the pictures of the girls themselves.
Right.
And I was immediately intrigued, yes. And my eye was immediately drawn to Posh.
Right.
I thought she was very classy.
Well, she was Posh, Philippa.
Yeah. Classy.
So that's
Spice.
Why. Classy Spice.
Yeah.
I couldn't have given a single shit about any of them.
Really?
Honest to God, I didn't care. They were, I really couldn't have given two shits. I don't know what I was into. I don't know what I thought was better than the Spice Girls, but I was like, whatever. I don't care. Next.
Next, please.
Next, please. Bring it on. I don't want any of this stuff. Sorry, we've gotten off topic there incredibly, but I'm going to try what you say there in the morning. I'm just going to say this is an emotional fart and I just have to ride it out like I would a normal fart.
Yeah, just let it out.
Like anything. Oh, before we wrap up for the day, because obviously, as we say at the end of all the podcasts, if you have any worries, please write to us at weheartworry@gmail.com. Now, as I was saying to you earlier, we said that all of series one, but we'd pre-recorded series one without it going out on air. So when we were sending them out, we weren't getting any emails because we'd recorded it before it actually went out, which probably wasn't the cleverest thing we could have done. But now we've had a few not very nice emails from people saying they liked the show and that's been really good. Not many people have been talking about their worries, but we did have one worry from, I don't want to say her name because she didn't say if it was all right, but one person emailed in and gave like quite a few worries. Some were kind of like darker, some were lighter, but one that she did have that I think I really understand is that she is frightened of the radiation coming out of microwaves to the extent that she put the microwave on and then would leave the room.
That would make sense. I remember when do you remember it was the same with mobile phones? It was like, they give you brain tumors. And we still don't know if that's a fact or not. But we sleep with our phones nearly in our own ears. So,
oh my God, constantly. They're around. I don't have a microwave. I don't know if it's because I don't have a microwave. I cook everything. I grow it in the ground. And I don't have one because I moved in and I just thought, oh, I'll see how long I don't need a microwave for. And I just, it just never became a thing. But I think that if I went down the worry route of microwave radiation, then it would then leak on into the phone and then I wouldn't use my phone and I need my phone. So I think I've just pushed it back into the back of my mind because I need my phone too much.
Yeah. And I think I remember when we got a microwave first when we were kids, the kids didn't chip in and buy it. It was my parents who bought it, but we got the microwave anyway. And There was talk of this radiation about don't stand in front of it when it's on.
Yes.
And I used to sometimes, just to annoy my mum, I'd stand right in the beam of it.
Oh.
You know, and check if I was going day glow green or whatever. Do people still say day glow?
Fluorescent. I don't know. But fluorescent, day glow is, I mean, are you worried it's offensive?
I just think it's the word that came before fluorescent and only like it's really old school. Or is it current?
I think day glow is fine.
Okay, no, it's just
you don't hear it anymore.
No, but once we got used to the microwave being a permanent fixture, I think it just the whole standing in front of a thing, we just
it just goes
anymore.
Out your ear, doesn't it? It's that thing. It's like you learn how to live your life and all the things that you're supposed to be scared of. Like, it's like exactly what we said about the pandemic. Like, everybody got used to it and now we just go, yeah, I'm in a pandemic, unless it's directly affecting you, which is obviously awful if it is. You go on with your life and you're just kind of don't. And then, you kind of end up worrying about something stupid instead of going, you're in the middle of a pandemic. Maybe worry about that. Maybe worry about that, dickhead, Yaz, is what I should say to myself from time to time.
No, that's not nice.
Yeah, no, actually, I should. Yeah, I'm trying to be more compassionate to myself. Yes.
Exactly.
Stop it. Stop it, you sweetie pie.
Where's the threat? It's potentially outside your front door. But
exactly.
In the room with you first thing in the morning, right there and then, in theory, you should be terribly safe.
Yes, yeah. I think emotional fart is good because it does leave me feeling kind of, you know, it's a funny thing to say. And I think it might release the emotional fart.
Good. Yeah.
Well, listen.
Oh, as well as the emails.
Go on.
Listeners. Write us a review. Give us a star rating.
Give us a star rating only if it's 5 stars. Don't give us a 1.
No. Okay.
Or I'll find you. I'll find you and I'll end you.
And cover you in raw chicken.
That's a good point, though. Yes, if you do want to leave us a nice review, please do. We'd welcome it gladly with open arms.
Yeah.
We could do some, I don't know, some kind of ghost emotion merchandise at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's a long way off. Let's not run before we can walk.
Yeah. That's the cart before the horse there.
Well, listen, we'll call it a day on this particular episode, episode one, series two. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Or listen.
Yeah.
No, you'll listen to us next time.
You will listen to us next time.
Goodbye.
Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.
Goodbye.
It's an S-Pod thing. The podcast revisiting S Club 7's insane TV show.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone's binge-watched this. Anyone who's not on drugs.
Thank you for bringing this into my life. It was honestly truly appalling.
Guests helped me analyse the show in more detail than anyone ever asked for.
It feels weird to me to say the phrase sex object in a show that was aimed at six-year-olds.
Do you think this is one of the problems with the show is that 7 is too much?
It's an S-Pod thing from Great Big Owl.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.